मनसा सह अनामा रूपश चिन मात्रा सो व्यान नहा सद असात परहा वचसि उपरते प्राप्य या एको मनसा सह अनाम रूपश्चिन मात्रा सोव्यान्नः सदसत् परः वाचसि उपरते प्राप्य या एको मनसा सह अनाम रूपश्चिन मात्रा सोव्यान्न सदसत् परः वाचसि उपरते प्राप्य या एको मनसा सह अनाम रूपश्चिन मात्रा सोव्यान्न सदसत् परः Anybody else like to chant? Ladies, is there anybody? Okay. Vachasi, when the words uparate cease, aprapya, not achieving the goal, yaha, he who, ekaha, one without a second, manasa, the mind, saha, with, anama, with no material name, rupa, or material form, chit matra, totally spiritual, saha, he, of yat, may kindly protect, naha, us, sat asat paraha, who is the cause of all causes, the supreme cause. Translation. The words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual, beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The impersonal Brahman, which is the effulgence of the Lord, is described in this verse. So basically, Krishna is called Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shriyate. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's in possession of multi-potencies. He has many, many potencies. He's the Adi Purush. He's the original enjoyer. He's the original creator. He's the original maintainer. And he also is the original dissolver. So everything, all the energies, multi-energies, Parashya Shaktir, Krishna possesses many, many energies. One of those energies is the Brahman effulgence. The Brahman effulgence is actually explained that it's the personal rays that are emanating from the body of the Lord. So the Brahman effulgence Here, Prabhupada actually said it even has form, but it doesn't have form like you and I understand form. It has here, in this material world, we can only understand what we perceive. We cannot understand something that is beyond our perception. So in this material world, this is the place of relativity. This is the place that we only have a limited amount of perception. So with our blunt material senses, with our senses that are very stunted by not being in, right now, aware of or in Krishna's internal energy, then we are only, it says in Bhagavad Gita that the living entity carries his different conceptions of life like the air carries aromas. So right now we are all situated in upadis. We are all situated in designations. We are designated. Right now I am sitting in this body. I am not this body. This isn't my permanent situation, but because I have chosen according to my past desires in a certain way, I have been given this yantra or this body by material nature. So basically the Srimad Bhagavatam is there to dismantle this false conception of life. Everyone in this material world more or less is in a state of delusion or a state of illusion. We don't really know what is what. Actually, that's what Maya means. Maya means that which is not. So in this material world, we are accepting something, that which is not, as something that is real and permanent. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is there to dispel those misconceptions. It is there to enlighten us as to the real fact. It is there to give us the proper understanding of how to understand who we are, what this material creation is, and how we can act in our relationship in a spiritual form with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. So little by little in the Srimad Bhagavatam is going from the lotus feet of the Lord all the way up to the smiling face of the Lord. And we can't go in a haphazard way. We have to take a very systematic approach in order to understand God. God is not cheap. So many times Prabhupada would say, people are saying, can you show me God? But Srila Prabhupada would say, do you have the eyes to see God? You can only see God when you're qualified. So we have to qualify ourselves in order to understand this spiritual science. It's actually a very great science. It's not sentiment. It's not something fanatical. And it's not something imaginary. It is something real. But because we've been in this material world for so long, we forget how to understand what is real and what is unreal. So therefore, we have to take the advice of the revealed scriptures. There's two processes. There's the ascending process and the descending process. The Avaroha Panta and the descending process. So we have to take the descending process. If we take the descending process, then we'll be able to understand God. Because the people that understand God, the great souls, the great sadhus, the great sages, they have already done all the research. They have already taken the trouble to accumulate and enunciate the science of Krishna consciousness. So all we have to do is actually listen to them, because they possess Krishna. So we have to go to someone who possesses. If you want something, you have to go to someone who possesses that. In this material world, we don't possess that. We have been following our senses for so long in this material world that all we're getting is the result of our bad decisions. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is there to actually create a cultural revolution in the misdirected lives of the entire civilization. So page by page, translation by translation, and purport by purport, Srila Prabhupada is dismantling the materialistic way of life. This materialistic way of life is something that we have become very accustomed to. And we have to give it up in order to understand spiritual life. We have to learn how to desire spiritually. It's not that we have to give up desires. It's not that we have to give up activity, But it's that we have to give up material desires and material activity. So that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is doing. It's the spotless Purana, and it is giving us an opportunity to understand how to engage in spiritual activities. That is what Bhakti Yoga is. Bhakti Yoga means doing the right thing. Someone who's engaged in Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of love, means they're doing the right thing. They've given up their attempt, their own independent attempt at enjoying in this material world. And that's where the spiritual master comes in. The spiritual master, he comes in to guide the disciple in the way of spiritual life. So if we do what the spiritual master prescribes, if we do what the spiritual master gives us, then automatically we start to immerse ourselves in the spiritual atmosphere. So it's a matter of conditioning. We've been conditioned for so long in this material world that things sound familiar. Everything seems familiar to us. But when we get burned out enough, when we get discouraged enough, when we get frustrated enough with the material world not working for us, because that's what's going to happen, the material world doesn't work very well. Padang padang yadvipadang nate sham. There's actually danger at every step in this material world. But all of us, we're all trying to make a permanent arrangement so that we can get rid of the miseries in the material world. But it never happens. That those little arrangements that we make, they always get thwarted. They always get stopped. And that we always get cut short. So only until we give up, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, only until we give up our own plans of making happiness can real happiness start to happen. You see, we're trying to make our own plans for happiness, but those plans are not working. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a plan on how Krishna wants us to be happy. This is a plan on how the great Acharyas want us to be happy. So if we give up our own plan for a minute, if we suspend our own belief system and so much faith that we have in our mind and our intelligence, and we just surrender to the absolute truth, then we find a different type of happiness. We find real ananda. We find happiness of the soul. Prabhupada said, just like if you take a fish and you take the fish out of water, he can never be happy. So in this material world, we are all like fishes out of water. Our natural habitat is in Krishna Loka. Our natural habitat is engaging in pastimes with Krishna as a servant or some rasa with Krishna. But due to forgetfulness, we are not at present in that situation. So we have to come out of that. And the way to come out of that is to engage in bhakti yoga. By engaging in the beginning, Vaidhi Bhakti Yoga, the beginning stages of Bhakti Yoga, there are prescribed rules and regulations. And by engaging in those regulations with faith, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, one can make advancement in the science, and then the conditioning starts to wear down. As we engage in bona fide activities under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then our conditioning starts to change. We start to be conditioned from the material world to the spiritual world. And what once tasted like poison starts to turn into nectar. Because actually the activities in the spiritual world, they're all nectar. All the walking is dancing. All the talking is singing. Everyone is always happy. In the spiritual world, there is no anxiety. It is Vaikuntha. It is a place where there is no anxiety. But we cannot say that here. So, Srila Prabhupada came and he tried to teach us how we could turn this miserable place into Vaikuntha. It's possible. It is possible. But we have to apply ourselves to the science. So if we apply ourselves to the science of Bhakti Yoga, very carefully, very austerely, and very judiciously, then little by little, the miserable material world starts to fade away, and the real nature, our true nature, starts to come out. So that is the process. It says, actually, by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam in and of itself, it's a pious activity. Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. So by sitting down, even though we have no qualification, even though we don't know how it's acting, simply by sitting down on Srila Prabhupada's instructions and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and reading the purports, we are actually engaged in pious activity. And by that pious activity, we are wiping out the sinful desire seeds within our hearts. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. It's the process of anartha nivritisya. Anarthas. Anarthas means those things without value. In the material world, just like we were saying, we place so much value on so many things. But what is the value of the things that we are placing value on? They're very temporary. So we have to get rid of those unvaluable things, and we have to replace them with things of value. So the things of value are in Krishna consciousness. They're in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're given by the devotee. And if we can understand what is of value, even though in the beginning it may not seem to have value, the more that we associate with it, it takes on more and more value. So that's the process of sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. By engaging in the nine processes, there are nine processes in Krishna consciousness, and by engaging, different devotees became perfect by engaging in different processes. And you can engage in all the processes. You can engage in eight of the processes, seven of the processes. Or even if you just engage in one of the processes, then you can actually become perfect in Krishna consciousness. So it's a quality to what we're doing. Srila Prabhupada was always looking for quality. It's not just about quantity, but it's about quality. Srila Prabhupada, he was also chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. He was chanting the same mantra that we're chanting. But his chanting is a lot different than our chanting. Why? Because he's chanting purely. So purity is the force. If we want to engage in Krishna consciousness and have any success, then Srila Prabhupada always said, purity is the force. That's the force that actually propels Krishna consciousness outward. If there's no purity, then the force will be there for a little while, but then it will dry up. So purity is always the force. So Krishna consciousness, it's based on a foreground of full knowledge. We have to get more and more knowledge about Krishna. Not jnana, just for jnana's sake, but we have to get the knowledge in order for us to appreciate who Krishna really is. Because right now, we don't know. So the more that we know about Krishna, the more that we serve Krishna, everything becomes natural. Because our natural state is to be an eternal servant of Krishna. That's what we are. We are eternal servants of Krishna. So it's not a process. Bhakti yoga is not a process to be gained from an outside place. Bhakti yoga is already there within the heart of the living entity. But it has to be brought out. And the way that it's brought out is by hearing and chanting. So by intensive hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord from the bona fide acharya, then the process becomes, Krishna becomes pleased. And if Krishna is pleased, then he reveals himself to such a devotee. Just like Lord Brahma, he was in tapasya. He heard the two sounds, tapa. He didn't know what to do. He was sitting there in mystic meditation. But when he heard the sounds tapa, he sat there and he meditated. And by his meditation, he pleased Krishna. And then Krishna revealed himself within the heart of Brahma. So that is the only way we're going to get this Krishna consciousness. There's no external way to do it. We can't cheat Krishna. We can't fake Krishna. That's what we've been trying to do here in the material world. We've been trying to fake everyone and cheat everyone to get what we want. So the process of Krishna consciousness cannot be faked. It cannot be cheated. We actually have to get the real thing, but we have to perform it in the real way. So really, we have to look ourselves to see how we're performing Krishna consciousness. Are we doing it with the right motive? We have to always look at our motive. Because that's what anartha nivritisya means. It means giving up anything that's materially motivated. When Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, he was spreading Krishna consciousness like anything. But he always told us, Watch out for personal ambition. He said that personal ambition, that was the poison. So if we start to want something for ourselves, for our false self, and if we don't hear and chant properly, then we start to be contaminated in devotional service. And it actually says that we can turn the process of devotional service into sense gratification. The process of devotional service can actually be transmuted into sense gratification. It can actually happen. So we have to be very vigilant. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness was like a razor's edge. And if you go to shave yourself with a razor, you have to be very careful. Because if you're not careful, a little bit of inattention, and you're going to cut yourself, and then you're going to start bleeding all over the place. So we can't think that automatically Invite sadhana bhakti in the beginning stages as kanishta adhikaris, that we've got it all down. We have to be very careful, because maya, Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness, it couldn't be stopped from without, because this is the golden age, and Lord Chaitanya, he's here to spread Krishna consciousness all over the planet. But Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness could be stopped from within. Within means within our hearts. If our hearts are not purified, if our hearts are not elevated, if our consciousness is not right, then the greatest movement for spreading Lord Krishna's glories all over the world, Prabhupada said, it could be hampered due to dissension among the members. If we don't get off the bodily platform of life, if we don't get on to the spiritual platform and then stay there, then we will just start fighting like cats and dogs. Because that's what cats and dogs do. They fight. They have false ego. They have false conceptions of what they're doing. So that's us. We're just coming out. We're just starting to take a shower. It's not like we're fully clean. It's not like we're fully advanced. It's not like we're fully realized in this Krishna consciousness. So basically, Krishna consciousness is a very grassroots movement. It's a movement of purification. It's one of vairagya and vidya. We have to have vairagya, vidya, nija, bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga is based on knowledge and detachment. True knowledge, true understanding, and true realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it will give us detachment. That's the way detachment comes. It comes from real knowledge. So if we are not becoming detached from material things, then it means that we're not executing the process of Krishna consciousness properly. Prabhupada said we'd be jolly. If we engage in Krishna consciousness nicely, then we'll always be happy. Because Jai Hare Krishna. Because the process of Krishna consciousness is a joyful one. It is not something that is dry or morose. Just like the Brahman effulgence, people go up to the Brahman effulgence, but once they get there and they stay there, there's no happiness there. Because happiness only comes through activity. And happiness only comes by exchanging with other people. That is how we're happy. So in the association of devotees, we have to make sure that we're engaging in very nice devotional service in the proper way that will make us happy, and gradually we will go back to Godhead. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of the soul is prema pumarto mahan. Prema pumarto mahan means that prema is the ultimate goal, but that comes gradually. Prema bhakti cannot be gained by some artificial way. It has to be given. Just like it's called dayabak. Dayabak is inheritance. So just like in a family, in customs, typically, the children, they inherit the property of the parents. That if you're a good child and you do what your parents say and you execute your activities properly, then you will inherit what your parents have. So in Krishna consciousness, that's called dayabak. Dayabak means that we will get our inheritance. But we cannot think, oh, I just want my inheritance right now. Sometimes a child, he thinks, oh, my father, he should just give me the inheritance right now. I know what I want to do with it, so I'll just try to take it. But no, you have to wait till the inheritance comes. So that's Krishna consciousness. It means we go step by step, gradually, 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 and by doing the right thing, the inheritance will come. That is where faith comes in. We have to have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. So we have to first of all make sure that we have a bona fide spiritual master. And if he's actually bona fide, and if he can take us to the highest level of Krishna consciousness, then we just have to keep following him till the process is complete. The training has to be complete. So therefore, we have to be patient. It explains that there are six principles for the attainment of pure devotional service. And enthusiasm is one of them. The second one is patient. So we have to be patient in Krishna consciousness. We have to be enthusiastic and we have to be patient. And then we have to make sure that we're executing the right activities in Krishna consciousness. So it's a constant endeavor. Krishna consciousness is a constant endeavor to attain the goal. But it's a joyful endeavor because the process is so wonderful. So simply by reading the Bhagavatam, by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in deity worship, by engaging in some practical service that we have as our swabhava, that complements our psychophysical makeup, that we have to look for, that we want to have engagement 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. And actually, the pure devotee, he doesn't even sleep. Someone who's actually on the highest level of Krishna consciousness, like Srila Prabhupada, he never really slept. One devotee, Shyamasundar, who was his personal servant, he said he never saw Prabhupada sleep. Prabhupada never slept. Why? Because he was always engaged in Krishna consciousness. There was no ignorance. There was no modes of nature that were touching the pure devotee. The pure devotee, he's not touched by the modes of nature. He's always in contact with Krishna. So satatam kirtayantomam yatantas cha drida vrata. We have to take a determined vow to try to get to that platform. Obviously, we're not on that platform yet, but that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to the platform of satata, of all the time. We have to always be engaging in Krishna consciousness. One of the symptoms of someone who's advancing in Krishna consciousness is that he doesn't want to waste any time. Time is a great commodity. And although time is conspicuous by its absence in Krishna consciousness, still, Srila Prabhupada was always very conscious of time. He always knew what time it was. Why? What time is it? It's time to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada said an advanced devotee, he's always doing something. He's looking for this, then he knows what he's going to do next. Then he knows what he's going to do next. And he doesn't have time for Maya. Because Prabhupada said an idle mind is the devil's workshop. The devil will come right in. Sometimes they say the devil's in the details. But an idle mind is the devil's workshop. The devil's very glad to come right in. Or Maya is very glad to come right in and engage us very nicely. So unless we don't have time for Maya, just like Haridas Thakur, the great Namacharya, who is chanting 3 lakhs of rounds every day, well, he was tested by Maya Devi personified. And what did he do out of his great kindness? He said that he would engage her. So she came to him and she said, oh, I would like to engage with you. So Haridas Thakur, who was always chanting the holy names, to chant 3 lakhs of holy names a day takes about 18 hours at least, because it's 300,000 names, so he's always chanting the Hare Krishna mantra day and night. So he told Maya Devi, he said, well, okay, I would love to engage with you, but I have to finish my rounds. So he said, after I finish my rounds, then I'll certainly engage with you. But he just kept chanting all night long. So she sat there and she listened to his chanting. Next day she came back and she did the same thing. So after 3 days of hearing Srila Haridas Thakur's chanting, then she finally opened up to Haridas Thakur. She explained to him why she had come, and he said, yes, I know. But that's the example. The Namacharya, the great Acharyas, what was he doing? He was fully engaged in Krishna's service, and that was Maya personified. It said that she showed him positions that would make Lord Brahma fall down. So she was pretty potent in her allurements. But because he was purely chanting the holy name and he was fully engaged in Krishna's service, then Maya herself could not engage Haridas Thakur. So obviously we're not Haridas Thakur. But that's the that is showing that acharyas, they live their life and they teach by example. So Haridas Thakur, he was teaching by example that Maya can come and get us at any minute. Maya can come and get us anytime she wants. And if someone like Haridas Thakur can be tested, what to speak of us? We're being tested at any time, and we could be taken down pretty quickly. So therefore, we have to be in a state of anxiety. We actually have to be in anxiety. We know that Maya will come. This is a war against Maya. Prabhupada said it's a war. This is a war against Maya. It is not something to be taken lightly. He said if we take it lightly, then we're not going to survive. Just like in a war, the people that win the war are those with the best strategy. The people that win the war are the ones that are most prepared. So we have to prepare ourselves in this struggle against Maya by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in Krishna's service as much as we can, and by always thinking, if I'm not engaged in Krishna's service, then Maya will come and take me. We don't have any guarantee. Even here in the Holy Dham, which is actually Chintamani Dham, if we could see it, which is actually fully transcendental, if we could see it. But even in Chintamani Dham, we bring our material mind, we bring our material senses, and we bring our material desires, because that's our subtle covering. So we have to give those things up, and the way to give them up is to purify ourselves. So even by just being in the Holy Dham, yes, we're being purified, but it's what rate do we want to be purified at? That's the question. Prabhupada said it can take a few seconds to be Krishna conscious, or it can take hundreds and thousands of lifetimes to be Krishna conscious. It's not guaranteed that we'll go back to Godhead in this one lifetime just by joining ISKCON. If we think we can just join ISKCON and punch a card and think, okay, I punch my ticket now, I'm just going back to Godhead, that's not the process. The process is we have to fly our own plane. Prabhupada always said it was like a flock of birds. And when you're flying with a flock of birds, the lead bird is showing you which way to go. But you're actually flying yourself. Prabhupada said the time of death is when we get tested. Ante Narayana Smritihi. So at the end of life, Ante Narayana, we have to think of Narayana. If we don't think of Narayana, and if we haven't practiced thinking of Narayana, then we will not think of Narayana at the time of death. Whatever we want at the time of death, that will be offered to us. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when he was going and on his way back to Godhead, he was passing all the heavenly planets. And as he was going back, he was seeing all the different heavenly planets. Well, if you want to get off at one of those heavenly planets, you're welcome to get off. You see, but going back to Godhead means we don't want any of those things. It means we give all those things up. So we have to practice now. Because Prabhupada said at the time of death, we may not, or we probably won't, have full consciousness. Things will get very difficult at the time of death. We may not be able to chant Krishna's name. We may be in a coma. There may be so many situations that are there at the time of death. So we have to practice. Actually, some great devotees were praying, like King Kulashekar. He was praying, my dear Lord, please take me now while the swan of my mind is aware, and so I can enter the stem of your lotus feet. Please take me now, because I have all my faculties. So now that we have our faculties, we have to use those faculties, because whatever we practice now, that will come at the time of death. Prabhupada said, just like a parrot. A parrot may be taught to chant Hare Krishna, but if someone, a bigger animal comes and grabs at the parrot doesn't keep chanting Hare Krishna. He starts squawking, and he loses all of his attachment to the holy name. So we have to be attached to the holy name. We have to be desperately involved in the holy name. We have to let the swan of our mind enter into the holy name so that we have nothing else. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that to those who do that, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So Prabhupada said if we engage in Krishna consciousness nicely during this lifetime, then Krishna will come and he will take us back to Godhead. But a devotee never thinks that he's qualified to go. A devotee never thinks that he'll just go back. You see, a devotee is always desperate in thinking that I'm not qualified. Let me do a little more service so that I can become qualified. You see, because right now I'm not qualified. So that's the process that we are in. We are in the process of vaidhi sadhana bhakti, the process of probation. We're on probation right now. We are in the probationary stage. We have komala shraddha. Komala means soft. So we have soft faith. And by engaging in this process of Krishna consciousness, hopefully our shraddha and our faith is becoming a little more firmed up. The firmer our faith becomes, the more we can't be swayed into other activities. But not right now, our faith is pretty soft. It's pretty soft. So we have to strengthen that. We have to keep engaging in the process of vaidhi sadhana bhakti in order to strengthen our faith so that we become unshakable. And that's why we have to read Prabhupada's books very carefully, because Prabhupada, he is unshakable. He cannot be moved. He's like the Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that of unmovable things, I am the Himalaya. So the Himalaya cannot be moved. So the spiritual master, he can also not be moved. So if we associate with the pure devotee, then our faith starts to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's what we're looking to do. But we shouldn't assume that we've reached the goal. We should understand that we're in a probationary situation and we're trying to get towards the goal more and more and more. So we can't, if you read Prabhupada's books, you'll also see that many times he repeats a lot of things in his books. So a lot of time as devotees we would say, well, Prabhupada's repeating this over and over and over again. That's because repetition makes you accept something. We also repeat the Hare Krishna mantra over and over and over again. So it's not about what's being said, it's about the quality of what's being said. So that's devotional service. In the beginning, it's like an unripe mango. And as it goes on, it starts to ripen more and more and more. So that's our goal. Our goal is to ripen the mango by the process of hearing and chanting, by the process of accepting a bona fide spiritual master, and by the process of engaging in vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which will bring us to the higher stages of Krishna consciousness. That will happen, but that will happen automatically. It actually says in the scriptures that in order to get to the higher stages of devotional service, one should go to Sri Vrindavan Dham, and one should live under the guidance of a Rasika Bhakta, or someone who is actually a resident of Vrindavan. So that's why we have to live under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, who is the greatest resident of Vrindavan. He knows everything about Krishna. Not only that, he knows how to reveal it, because it explains that the pure devotee, he's the revealer of the Dham. He knows how to reveal the Dham, and he will reveal the Dham. He wants to reveal the Dham. The problem isn't with Srila Prabhupada, the problem is with us. We have cataracts in our eyes. We have an unwillingness, a causeless unwillingness to surrender to Krishna. So we always learned as new devotees, it's not what we're giving to Krishna that's so important, it's what we're holding back. So we actually have to look in our heart and see, what is it that I'm holding back from Krishna? And if we look in and we see what it is we're holding back, give that thing to Krishna. Hold the thing that you think is very dear, because we have to become very dear to Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, don't work in such a way that you see Krishna. How can you walk into the deities and look at the deities with these material eyes? How can you expect to see God? No, work in such a way that God will see you. Work in such a way that Krishna sees you. And he says, oh, look at how nicely he or she is doing. And he goes, oh, this is so nice. I have to do something. Just like all the demigods and all the other benedictions that are given, they're all given for material reasons. They're all given for material reasons, and they all have material purposes. And they're all given with limited results. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kamais tais tata hrita jnana. Those people are of less intelligence that want those things. You see? So we don't go to Krishna as a merchant. We don't go to Krishna as a business. Prabhupada said, don't deal with Krishna in a business way. Vrindavan is not for dealing with Krishna in a business way. We are not merchants. Just like in biblical times, Lord Jesus Christ kicked out of the temple all the money changers. We can't do business with Krishna. That's bartering. That's not love. Bhakti has nothing to do with business. Krishna is only attracted by bhakti. Krishna is only attracted by love. We don't have any love. So we have to give our bhakti, whatever little perverted kind of bhakti that is, we have to give it to our spiritual master because he has the bhakti. He has the bhakti shakti. Bhakti shakti means energy. So the spiritual master, he has bhakti shakti. Just like when we offer prasadam. We don't offer prasadam to Krishna. We don't know Krishna. We can't get to Krishna. We have to offer our prasadam, our bhoga, to our spiritual master. And he offers it up and up and up. He offers it to his spiritual master. Then he offers it to his spiritual master. It goes all the way back to parampara. Then it goes to Krishna. We have no qualification to offer anything to Krishna. Who do we think we are? No. We're in a helpless situation. We don't realize how much of a helpless situation we are actually in. You see, we can't make up our own process of devotional service. We have to make sure that we're following the proper process of devotional service. Otherwise, it may not be going to Krishna. You see, it may not be going to Krishna. So we have to make sure, we have to get into the little fine details of what is bhakti yoga, what are all the details, and how does Srila Prabhupada want us to engage in Krishna consciousness? And in that way, then we can be assured that we're making some advancements, some tangible effort is being done, and then we're making some advancement toward the ultimate goal. So that's what Srila Prabhupada came to do. That's what Srila Prabhupada did do. That's what's going on right now. But we also didn't hit the goal yet. You see, the goal, the prize, is pure devotional service. So until we've reached pure devotional service, and even a pure devotee, if we look at Srila Prabhupada, he never advertised himself as a pure devotee. He always hid himself. Just like Lord Chaitanya, who came, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he is God. And even though he came as a devotee, if someone called him a devotee, he would cover his ears and say, oh no, no, I'm not God, you see. So he set the example that even a pure devotee or someone who is making advancement, a devotee is someone who never likes to hear his own praises. An advanced devotee is not someone who is trying to promote his own cause. A real advanced devotee is someone who goes unseen. And Srila Prabhupada was like that. Although he was the most advanced devotee, he was never walking around acting like he was an advanced devotee. Someone told Prabhupada to chant Hare Krishna one time. One Karmi guy came along and he told Prabhupada to chant Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada started chanting Hare Krishna. He listened to him. And here he is, the leader of the Hare Krishna movement. Someone said, chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada started chanting Hare Krishna. So that means that he was so humble. He wasn't walking around thinking, I am a big guru. I am a big Mahabhagwat. I am looking for so much glory. I'm looking for so much adulation. No, he wasn't doing any of that. He was just serving Krishna. That's all he was doing. So real devotee means someone who is Priya. We have to become Priya. Priya means dear to Krishna. Becoming dear to Krishna means becoming dear to Krishna's devotee. And Krishna's greatest devotee is Srila Prabhupada. So if we can get the attention somehow or other of Srila Prabhupada, if we can attract him somehow or other, then we may make some advancement. So that's why Prabhupada set this whole movement up. He set the whole movement up for all of us to become enthusiastic in some way to get the attention of the acharyas. And in that way, we get the attention of Krishna, and in that way, we make advancement. Otherwise, we have no shot. There's no way to go back to Godhead on our own. We can't just make up our own process and think that'll be good enough. So everything has to be authorized. And this is one of the authorized, even though I'm not authorized, this is one of the authorized things we're doing, is hearing and chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we should all be thinking, what's the next authorized thing that I'll do today? You see, and then what's the next authorized thing after that? We have to make sure that it's authorized. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. Otherwise, we're on what's called the mano retena. The mano retena means the chariot of the mind. And the mind will drive us all over the place, telling us to do so many things. So I think I'll stop there. And are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Before we come to Krishna consciousness, we're not even in a probational stage. Yeah. So how do we what? How do we balance that? Well, it's a different... Before we come to Krishna consciousness, we're not even in a... in some ways we're in a probational stage, because it says that ultimately everyone's serving Krishna directly or indirectly. So even before we come to Krishna consciousness, everybody's serving Krishna. They're just serving Krishna's external energy. And they're not getting anywhere really fast. Ultimately, if they get burned out and they meet a pure devotee, then their life can change. When we come to Krishna consciousness and we meet the pure devotee, then we go through different rules and regulations and we get examined. You see, we become examined by Krishna and by the pure devotee. That's what Prabhupada said. His position was to examine the disciples. And as you pass the examination, you're given another examination. Just like when you go to school, you start in kindergarten, and then you go up and up and up and up till you get your master's degree or your postgraduate degree. So that's Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, we start at the very lowest rung. Some people come from previous lives and they have more advancement. Everybody starts, Prabhupada said, everybody starts somewhere, but some people start in a more advanced stage, but ultimately you have to get to the most advanced stage. So until you complete the test, you're still being examined. You see, we're always being examined. That's what it means. We still have anartas. We still have unwanted things. We still have things that are piercing our consciousness. Our subtle body is still there. We have to give up all those things in our subtle body. We have to fully Krishnize ourselves. And that's the probationary stage. The spiritual master awards advancement depending on our sincerity and how much we please him. It says if one pleases the spiritual master, then the rules and regulations become easier. There's different types of siddha. Kripa siddha, nitya siddha, sadhan siddha. There's different types of siddha. The goal is to become siddha, or free from mukti. Real mukti is bhakti, you see. So there's sadhan siddha. There's also kripa siddha. There's also guru kripa, you see. So we can become advanced by, if the guru is very pleased with what we do, he can award our benedictions in a second. He can make a disciple immediately advanced. Why not? He can do anything he wants like that. But we have to assume that we're in school, because we are. We can't expect an honorary degree. We can't imagine. Sometimes people go out and they imagine. They give themselves a degree. We see so many people walking all around. They've put out a shingle. And they've made their own program up. We see so many incarnations of God. We see so many spiritual societies where people are making things up. So anybody can make it up, but that doesn't mean it's real. So real advancement in Krishna consciousness comes from the real process, from a bona fide spiritual master. So we're definitely still in the probationary stage. We're being examined. And as we pass what? It's called adhikar. Adhikar means eligibility. Your different adhikar is your eligibility. We're only eligible for so much. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Who rewards them? The guru rewards them. So as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. You get what you deserve. You don't get what you don't deserve. You can't demand something. I demand this. We get what we deserve. So if we surrender to Srila Prabhupada 10%, he'll reciprocate. If we surrender to him 20%, he'll reciprocate. It's a reciprocal thing. That's what a relationship is. That's what a relationship of love is. It's binding. The more we get bound in bhakti yoga, the more we advance. The more we entangle ourselves in Krishna consciousness, the more we unentangle ourselves from the external energy. So the goal is to get entangled. The goal is to get involved. The goal is to get hooked. And the goal is to get realized, get self-realized. We have to know it's there. But we have to go for it, you see. We have to go for it. God helps those who help themselves. So Prabhupada said, helping oneself means putting yourself in a position that God can help you. If we don't put ourselves in the right position, just like in the material world, everyone's trying to position themselves for the big deal, for the big payday. Everyone's looking for the big payday. So they try to position themselves properly. But the position never happens. So we have to also position ourselves properly. So we're in the right position. We just have to stay there. You see, it's like going into the rain and then staying in the rain. Don't get out of the rain. Let the process happen. We have to let the bhakti process happen by intensely engaging in it. If we stop, the process stops. The process goes as fast as we go. So that's why we're being examined. If you pass one test, you want your next test. Like the people that go to school and do real good, they eat up their schoolwork. They go from one test, one test, one test. What's the next test? What's the next test? They keep taking tests. And sometimes they graduate college in a few years. They're in the accelerated course. So we can make bhakti yoga an accelerated course. It's not supposed to all go at the same rate, you see. It's not just showing up. Sometimes they say in the material world, half the process is just showing up. So people show up to their jobs and they just show up and they think that's good enough. But that's not really good enough because they think they're tricking. They're just going to get their paycheck at the end of the day. So in bhakti yoga, we're not trying to do that. We're not just trying to put on a dhoti and show up and go through the motions and then that's it. Boom, we check out. You see? That's not what we're really trying to do. That's not bad. But the real thing is not just to show up, but to really do something that's noteworthy. Prabhupada said you become recognized if you do something noteworthy. So that's what we have to try to do. Do something noteworthy. Get the attention of the spiritual master. We have to get his attention. Otherwise, why would he single us out? So that's what we're vying to do. It's transcendental competition. When Srila Prabhupada was here personally, he was always encouraging transcendental competition. He was doing that because it's personal. It's not an impersonal program. Everything's personal. So we have to be enthusiastic and we have to try to find something that we do good, that we do well, and then do it nicely, you know, and try to get Krishna's mercy. Any other question?
Draw the attention of the spiritual master.
Draw the attention of the spiritual master.
Well, it's the same thing. Just like people would ask Prabhupada that with Krishna and Arjuna. The Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. And they would say, well, Arjuna had such a great chance. He was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and there was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, speaking to him. So he had such a great opportunity. What do we do now? We just read the Bhagavad Gita? No, it's the same thing. That's the parampara system. So when Srila Prabhupada was here, he was speaking. He left us 80 books. 80 books that he spent his whole life putting. His legacy is in his books. So if we follow his books and we enact what's in his books, we're with Prabhupada. There's no question about it. Whereas with most devotees didn't have that much physical association with Srila Prabhupada anyway. He was running a world movement. Many devotees would go and see him even in the beginning, and he would kick them out of the room because they'd be sitting there trying to find some mystery, something out, and he'd say, well, go do something. He was always looking to get people to go serve. So if you're serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, if you're serving the desires of Srila Prabhupada, you're associating directly with Srila Prabhupada. It's no different. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's tapes, that's no different. You're hearing that same voice that's been sprinkled with the saffron particles from Krishna's lotus feet, because that's what's in Srila Prabhupada's voice. So when you listen to Srila Prabhupada's tapes, you're directly listening to the same exact thing that he was saying back when he said it, whenever he gave that platform lecture. It's the same exact thing. And you make the same exact advancement. So we all have Srila Prabhupada's association. It's not that he's dead and gone. He's not. He's as alive as we make him. And he's the Mahabhagwat. So it actually says that the true Mahabhagwat is the real deliverer from birth and death. The true Mahabhagwat, he is the one that takes us back to the spiritual world, because he owns Krishna. He has Krishna. He's with Krishna. So we all have that chance. And the grandfather, he is notoriously more merciful than the father. So Prabhupada, he wants to give himself to all of us. We just have to want it. We have to be not shy. We can't be intimidated into thinking that we can only have so much Srila Prabhupada. That's not an offense. Prabhupada's the Shiksha Guru for the next 10,000 years. So his Shiksha is there. It's embedded in his books. It's more in his books now than it even was when he was here. Because after he left, he put it all in his books. He said, what will you do when I leave? He said, I will never die. I am living forever in my books, and you will utilize. So if we utilize his books and the instructions in his books, then we're living with him. He's with us. We experience that, like myself and Panchagoda used to go out in book distribution all the time. We were out there all day under very difficult circumstances. Prabhupada wasn't out there with us, but when you were holding one of Srila Prabhupada's books and you had, well, he was, but he wasn't physically with us. He was out there. You could feel it. And by the time you came back from book distribution, you could really feel it. So Prabhupada's in his instructions. That's why we have to make sure that we're following his instructions, because then we'll get that nice feeling that he's with us. And we've all had that feeling. You see, we've all had. I've talked to many devotees that, you know, were the original devotees on Second Avenue. It's the same thing. There was nothing magical. It was just Prabhupada. Prabhupada direct. You see, Prabhupada direct. He's still Prabhupada direct. He hasn't left. He hasn't abandoned anybody. He's here. We just have to keep him alive. That's all.